You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk, episode 274. Today we're going to talk about Irish Invasion that happened over the weekend. And we're going to be joined by Matt Freeman. I'm here. Randall's back from his hunting expeditions, which we might get to maybe towards the end of the podcast. That way, if you don't care about personal stories, you can skip it, or you don't need to listen to it if you don't want to. But Matt is joining us. Matt, thank you for being with us.
What's up, guys? Great day.
I guess we should get that out of the way. Cleveland did win the championship after being down 3-1. And so Matt's a big Cavaliers fan. So I'll give you a moment, Matt, just to recap and tell us about, I guess, your feelings about that.
It's just the greatest day in the sports history of my teams, because since I've been alive, it's not gone so well for all my teams. So it was great to see LeBron bring one home for the home state.
The sentimental part of me does feel that way, but the majority part of me was hoping that it'd be another few years before Cleveland got a championship. But I'm happy for you personally, Matt. I'm just disappointed overall.
I appreciate it. I can understand, but it just means lots of people up in Cleveland and the whole state of Ohio, for that matter, because that town's been through a lot, and just good to finally have a title back in Cleveland.
My only comment was that if everybody would be as forgiving as the Cleveland, the Cavaliers fans that were burning LeBron James his jerseys a couple years ago, we'd be in a pretty good world.
Or if more people were like LeBron.
True. I will say that probably the highlight of my evening was a bunch of guys came over to watch the game at my house, and Kyle, he's been on the podcast already. He was going to come over, and before they showed up, Ruben sent out a tweet and told them that it was an 80s themed party.
70s. Specifically basketball. 70s basketball.
So Kyle showed up in his short shorts and some high top shoes that he found, and it was pretty good. Well, it was bad, but he did a pretty good job of dressing up. So
always solid.
All right. Well, let's jump in and talk some Notre Dame football. So Irish Invasion happened over the weekend. So, Matt, what was the reaction from the guys that were there? Were they pleased with it? Were they excited about Notre Dame? Or was there maybe a negative reaction?
I mean, anytime you get that many kids on campus, it's going to be a good reaction. I mean, a lot of these kids are friends with each other and everything, so it's just an excuse to go out for a weekend, have some fun, play some football, and get to know a little bit more about the school. So it was a very positive reaction, and the camp went well. There were quite a few kids that didn't end up competing, but, I mean, they were sitting there talking to each other the whole time, and just getting a vibe of how the coaching staff coaches and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was a really positive weekend for Notre Dame.
And so we're at 4 commits now since the weekend. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Last 4 days.
Were you surprised by – did any of those commit that you weren't expecting to make a decision over the weekend?
I mean, plus the one today, on Monday, Paulson Adebo, was kind of a surprise. He had Notre Dame in the lead for quite a while, or one of his top schools, so it's not a complete shock that he chose Notre Dame. But he wasn't even at Irish Invasion or anything like that. So I can see how some people might think that was a surprise, or even the coaching staff for that matter. He actually took a visit to Stanford last week, I believe. So just based off of the way his timeline went, he must have wanted to get his recruitment over with, and Notre Dame had been on top for a while. So he saw what he needed to see out at Stanford, and I think it made his decision pretty clear with him committing within a week after visiting out there.
And then I think we were kind of guessing in the – it wasn't the previous podcast, but the last time our preview kind of for Irish Invasion, and we were just kind of predicting how many or guessing how many commits we think Notre Dame will get, even following the week after Irish Invasion. So I think I had said three, Randall had said four, and is that right?
You said two.
Did I say two? Okay.
I said three, and Matt, I'd seen that you mentioned that there would be four.
So I guess, are you... So
the week's not over with.
And the week's not even over yet. So are you... One of the questions I had for Matt was, were you disappointed that any of the kids didn't make a decision so far at Irish Invasion or the day after?
I mean, the only one that I was kind of surprised with was 2017 receiver Michael Young. He's at a point in his recruitment where he's almost committed twice to a couple schools, Texas A&M and Oregon, but he held off on committing to those schools just so that he could go to Notre Dame and experience that. So we kind of thought he might pull the trigger this weekend, but what he told me is he had a great time and everything, but he's leaning towards committing at the end of July right before school starts just so that he can let all of his summer visits and spring visits sink in and not make an impulse decision. I mean, he's a really mature, smart, intelligent kid, so I don't think that he wants to make the wrong choice, but he just wants to make the right choice, and he's just giving himself a little bit of time for that. The only other kid that I really thought might commit this weekend would have been C.J. Holmes, the running back, athlete, receiver out of Connecticut, because, I mean, he enjoyed the trip. His family loved the trip. So I thought he might pull the trigger before he left, but he left uncommitted. But I think Notre Dame's in a really good spot to land him in the long run.
You mentioned the family, like his families were there. How many of these kids would have brought family members along?
To this camp, actually, most of them. I know Baron Browning came up with his brother, who's also a coach, and then quite a few just came up with each other, like as friends, and had a parent drive them or fly with them. But just with the kids coming in from all over the country, a lot of their parents or their coaches brought them just so they don't have a 16, 17-year-old kid traveling across the country by themselves. So, I mean, it was a really positive turnout by the families or the coaches.
Did they have any special events kind of for the families included, or what happened?
Yeah, I believe it was like – on Saturday before the camp started at 7 at night, they kind of had like a mini junior day. So the kids went off and kind of got tours and had their meetings with the coaches and the academic staff and all that. And then the parents kind of went off and did their own thing with like a tour. And I'm not sure what other things they did, but they just kind of split them up. So the kids and the parents went two separate ways, but just kind of got to experience the whole thing.
All right, and then we are going to go through the four commits that have happened since our last podcast. But before we do that, I guess Matt, are there any recruits that are going to be making a decision here in the next week or two?
In the next week or two, I doubt it. I'm just trying to think. I mean, everybody else is pretty much on a timeline to commit right before their season or during the season, so I don't foresee any commitments in the next week or so, but, I mean, you never know. There's always a surprise kid that liked it a whole lot more than they thought they would, so they might decide to commit, but Notre Dame's still sitting in a pretty good spot right now.
After seeing everything this weekend, in your mind, who would you say would have been the star players that were there or that participated?
Definitely got to start with 2018 receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, younger brother of Equanimeous, and 2017 receiver recruit Osiris St. Brown. He just did it all. I mean, he ran precise routes, got in and out of his breaks good, and then used his speed to get separation on the deeper routes, but then he also showed some pretty good hands, making some tough catches across the middle and stuff like that. And then another guy that impressed me and impressed Keith Gilmore was 2019 defensive end Stephen Heron Jr. Obviously, him being 2019, he's coming out of his freshman year. But Coach Gilmore was made it clear that in a couple of drills, he just said, "Damn, what year are you?" And Stephen was just like, "Freshman." And then Coach Gilmore just started getting on the older guys just because a freshman was outworking them. But he was pretty good. And then 2018 receiver Deshaun Bussell, he's out of Fort Wayne, same high school as Jalen Smith, and Ohio State receiver Austin Mack. He had a nice camp. He's coming off a labrum surgery, so it was just good to see him out running around. Let's see. And, I mean, Jonathan McAllister, he committed on Friday. He looked pretty good. Justin Foster looked pretty good. And then there was a potential walk-on kid. He's from down around Houston. His name's Ben Mathismeyer. He's pretty good friends with Brock Wright. He's more of, like I said, a preferred walk-on type of kid. He's just small and maybe a couple steps too slow just to be a scholarship player at this level. But he's a really, really high-effort kid. And, I mean, that showed in that setting. He was going against kids that out-talented him, were faster, stronger, bigger. And he was holding his own just because of his compete level. So he was a guy that kind of stuck out just with his effort.
So would he be a future Joe Schmidt?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't caught up with him just yet. But, I mean, he is a potential walk-on type of player. But he may end up getting a few scholarship offers from some smaller schools that I may take a look at, too.
All right, very good. I think we're ready to go through the four new commits. Matt, do you have time to stick around with us?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, Randall, go ahead, Randall.
Well, it seems like Notre Dame's been getting one each day since Friday, so it's been kind of nice. I'm sure Matt was glad for that instead of having them all at once or the same day. Friday was...
Yeah.
Or do you like having them all the same day?
I mean, whatever the readers want is what I like.
Matt, have you ever pulled an all-nighter? Have you ever pulled a 24-hour period because of keeping up with Notre Dame news?
Not yet. I mean, yesterday was close, but that was just because the Cavs won and I needed to do work because I had to watch the game, so I didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night, but yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Friday, well, Jonathan McAllister, three-star defensive end, 6'4", 238 pounds. He actually went to school with Parker Boudreau at Bishop Moore Catholic. And Notre Dame, I guess he's a strong side defensive end. And I liked his tweet that he used to announce his commitment to Notre Dame. He said, "I'll be hunting quarterbacks for the Irish." So that's definitely some news that us Irish fans like to hear, because that's kind of something we've been lacking the last couple seasons. But here's another guy from Florida that Autry Denson has been recruiting. And one interesting note I saw is that Tony Alford, which I was at Ohio State now, actually visited him at the end of May and tried to recruit him to Ohio State, which would have been the former Notre Dame Florida recruiting guy. But
so Denson continues to hold his own?
Yeah. So the one thing we're worried about when Tony Alford left, it seems that Archie Denson's doing a pretty good job at that. Jordan Pouncey, three-star athlete, 6'3", 185, committed on Saturday. And it was kind of interesting to see on some of the Florida Gators message boards, they were kind of wondering what happened because everybody thought he would commit to Florida. The one comment that a guy had posted was, "What the heck happened? I thought Jordan Pouncey was locked to the Gators." So it's good to see that when we can beat out Florida for an in-state player. But he actually,
his cousins played at Florida. The Pouncey brothers, they were offensive linemen there, so that's why they were kind of surprised, because they thought they had the family connection going on there.
Are they both playing in the NFL now? I know Mike Pouncey plays for the Dolphins, but...
I'm not sure.
The
linemen in the NFL.
Yeah. That's everybody's favorite position. So. he had said... He'd also said when he got his offer from Notre Dame, he was losing sleep. He was imagining himself at Notre Dame. He said he actually one night that he actually couldn't sleep, and so he called his grandma and talked to her about it, and they actually prayed over the phone about it, and he knew he wanted to go to Notre Dame. And so when he had the chance, he committed to Notre Dame. Some of his stats for last year, which he played a wide receiver. He also played some defense, but on offense, he had 17 catches for 515 yards, 7 touchdowns, which comes out to 30.3 yards per catch. So pretty impressive numbers. Total yards, you know, isn't as high as maybe some guys are, but still on defense, he played safety, had 29 tackles, an interception, and 5 pass deflections. Matt, where does Notre Dame want him to play at Notre Dame? At what position?
They offered and took him as a receiver.
Okay. And then on Sunday, Marquise Stepp, which this was kind of a surprise to me. I've always figured he'd end up at Notre Dame eventually, but he is a 2018 recruit, and I thought it'd be a little while before he actually committed to Notre Dame, but I guess he wanted to get it done. He's a 4-star running back from Indianapolis, 6 foot. 205, and from Cathedral High School, actually goes to school with current Notre Dame commit Pete Werner. And if you watch his highlight film, I mean, it's just long run after long run, and he's a big guy. I mean, he's breaking tackles. I mean, he's doing it all, and he's still got 2 years of high school left. So, and he's also already recruiting other guys to Notre Dame. He's teaming up with Phil Drickovic, and the interesting thing, obviously, it sent out a tweet announcing his commitment, and then other recruits were commenting on it, and he was replying to them and said, hey, you need to come to Notre Dame. So just a couple hours after he committed, he was already tweeting back at those guys. So,
well, he had actually been recruiting for Notre Dame for quite a while, it turns out. So he's a pretty solid kid. So I think Notre Dame fans will like following his social media and stuff like that, because that kid's going to be all over kids for the next couple years.
Do you think he'll be a 5-star by the time he gets Notre Dame?
That's a great question. He has that ability. It's just he's got to keep working and see where it takes him. He's still pretty raw. He definitely can improve in a lot of areas, but I mean that also comes with his body maturing and just getting bigger, faster, and stronger. But it'll be interesting to see where he's at a year from now too.
What kind of competition does he play against in Indy?
I mean, he plays pretty much against the best competition in Indiana has to offer. I know they played St. Xavier out of Ohio, which is typically a powerhouse. Their quarterback's going to Penn State, and their offensive lineman is going to Clemson. But, I mean, he's had some pretty good games against some pretty good teams as a sophomore, so he's definitely worth keeping an eye on over the next couple of years just to see his progression.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what size he'll actually be as a senior. I mean, he's already a big back, and he can still run down guys. And his highlight reel, it doesn't show the first part of the play, but it looks like it was an interception or something, but he runs down the defender, the guy that had the ball. I mean, he ran past everybody and tackled him at like the 1 yard line. I'm not sure if they counted a touchdown or not, but he did run him down and catch him. So he's got some serious speed to go with his size as well. Then today, Matt mentioned Paulson Adebo, 4-star, 6 foot, 180, and looks like he plays a lot of wide receiver in high school, but Notre Dame is recruiting him as a cornerback. The one thing I liked about him is that, well, he's from Texas, and Texas actually offered a little while ago, and they wanted him to play cornerback as well, but Notre Dame ended up getting a commitment from him over the home state Texas team. He wasn't, like Matt said, he wasn't at Irish Invasion, but he was here for Junior Day in March, so he had been up to Notre Dame. And, yeah, I think he also plays at safety right now in high school. But what, Matt, what did Notre Dame see that they decided they wanted him at cornerback, since he doesn't necessarily play that in high school?
I mean, he's just a fluid athlete, and he has a lot of speed. He's kind of like Troy Pride, in the sense that he's a fast kid. They run similar track times, but I think he's definitely a lot bigger than Troy, and he plays a little bit more physical, where Troy relies a lot on speed and beating kids to the ball and angles and stuff like that. But Paulson is just kind of the complete quarterback. Not to say Troy isn't, but he just got the size and the strength to go with the speed. So that is what makes him kind of a very, very intriguing prospect that is probably going to start going up the rankings here pretty soon.
All right. Very good. That's all we have for recruiting. If you guys want to check out or follow Matt on Twitter, Matt Freeman ISD. Is that right, Matt?
Yep.
And then also Matt writes as the recruiting analyst over at Irish Sports Daily, and I believe they have a special going on right now. So head on over there, irishsportsdaily.com, and on Twitter at Irish at ISD Update. So I think we're going to talk about Randall's hunting trip that he was on. So Matt, if you do want to stick around, that's fine. But if you want to head out, that's fine
I
as well.
No, I want to hear about this.
Okay. And I do want to, Randall, tell us kind of your experience. But then if you miss, there's one story I do really want to get to that didn't involve you specifically, but just a story, something that happened up there on the hunting trip that I want to make sure we discuss as well. So tell us a little bit about you went up to on a hunting trip up to Canada, right?
Yeah. I was in Quebec, and it was a week long trip, and we actually came back a little bit later than what we had planned to. So that's why I didn't even really find out what was going on at Irish Invasion, because we did have some internet service at the lodge. They got the Wi-Fi fixed so that the last couple of days we did have some Wi-Fi that worked, but it was nice just to get away and you didn't look at your phone because there was nothing there to look at. But
I imagine the days seemed twice as long as normal.
Well, they were weird days because the time was all messed up. Basically, we go out to hunt in the afternoons, so you head out at around 4 or 5 o'clock, and then you hunt till dark, which is around 10 o'clock. And bear camp, it's different than, I hunt deer a lot, but this is the first time I was hunting bear, but basically just pile into trucks, and they take you out to your stands and drop you off, and then when it's time to pick you up, they come around and pick you up, and you meet, and you see who all shot a bear, and somebody shot one, you go find the bear in the dark, and we let the experienced French guys go in and try to find him. So we stayed out on the road and held the flashlights so they could see. But the thing I wasn't expecting is I was expecting to sit in a tree stand, like deer hunting, where you're 15 feet off the ground. We were in a platform that's 6 feet off the ground. And so the bears could reach the platform. There are stories of bears looking into the platform or coming up and checking you out and whatever. But they're mostly scared of you. And anyways, the bad part was that I didn't see any bear for a while. The first couple days were terrible. It rained, it was cold. And so the bears were, I don't know if they were hibernating or what the deal was, but they weren't out at the bait. And then it started to warm up, but the bear rut is happening right now. And so a lot of the male bears just come walking through the site, don't stop, so you don't have a chance to shoot. So up until the last night, We got in there on Saturday, and then Friday night, up until that point, I had seen one bear. One of the other guys in the camp had seen 14. But the guy told us he put us in, and me and another guy were in a stand that had trophy bears. We were expecting to see bigger bear, but not quite as many. That's his story anyway. So anyways, last night I did finally see a bear. Ended up shooting one with an hour left before dark. So it was cutting it close, but I did end up getting a nice bear.
So you have a bear. I mean, do you have the skin? Or like, what do you bring back?
Yeah, I brought back the hide. Want to get a bear rug made. And brought back some of the meat. Some people don't like the meat. They say it's like a raccoon, so it's greasy.
I've never had bear meat, but I really do want to taste it.
Well, I'll make sure you get some.
Okay. Matt, have you ever had bear meat?
No, I have not.
Well, we'll have to get together and grill some bear meat and give a report on that.
It sounds like a pretty manly activity.
Oh, definitely. So.
Okay, but tell us, okay, the thing... I want to talk about the wolves.
Yes. When I got there, you know, they're talking about the bears, and you get out there and you realize that the bears aren't really a threat. I mean, they're scared of you. If you make any movement or sound, they go running off into the woods. But the one night, one of the guys in the group came back, and he wasn't talking much that night. He was just quiet, and I didn't really think about it. And, until the next morning when he finally decided to share the story. He had been in his stand, and the platform just 6 feet off the ground, and there's a barrel there. They have a 55-gallon barrel with bait in it, with a cake that they put in it. And that's how you measure the bears. But when the wolves came in, there was four wolves that came in.
And how big is a bear that's big enough to shoot compared to the barrel, the 50-gallon barrel?
If you look at a 55-gallon barrel, they have two rings on them. If they're above the second ring, it's an average-sized bear. A big bear would be top of the barrel.
Okay.
Or some of them actually get a little bit bigger. That's the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Their back might be higher than that shoulder. So that's a big black bear. Anyways, these wolves were at 2 3/4 on the barrel. They were almost the top of the barrel when they came sauntering in. And they had smelled where he had walked in. And so they kind of stuck around the bait. And then they followed his tracks over to his stand. And then just one of them came over. He put his paws up there and was growling at him.
His paws up to the platform of the stand.
Yeah. And the guy had a recurve. He was going to shoot a bear with a recurve bow, which sounds a little crazy to me if you're in Canada with with bears and stuff. But anyways, he did have a gun, single shot gun along. But it's illegal to shoot wolves. Like, you can go to prison for shooting a wolf. Anyways, he had the gun pointed at him, and it was less than a foot away from the end of his barrel, showing its teeth and growling. So finally, it just left, and then it came back with the other three. All four were there, and the second one got up on the stand, did the exact same thing, and the other two just stood there.
The other three?
Yeah, the other three. And, he was shaking. That night, he's a guy that hunts a lot, doesn't mind walking through the woods in the dark with the bear. But that night, they had to come get him out of his stand. And he couldn't fall asleep till 6 that morning. Like, he was up all night because he was so just adrenaline. And, it freaked us out a little bit because then we did see the one area of stands that we were at was actually 7 kilometers off the dirt road. It's just a little logging trail back there. And there was wolf tracks back there. And so let's just say it held our attention. Once it got dark, all the noises in the woods had our attention, and we were waiting to hear the sound of the truck coming down the logging road.
So I think one of the other guys that was with you said that he used to just walk out once it got dark or close to dark, would walk out from the stand over to the road where the truck would be coming, would start walking to the direction where the truck would come from.
Yeah.
But after you heard the wolf story, everyone just stayed in their stands until the truck pulled up. Is that right?
Most of us did anyways, but yeah. I hadn't really thought about it before. Like, my dad had been along, and he was like, wolves, you know, they don't do anything. But if you start doing your research, nothing has happened. There haven't been too many attacks in the last 100 years, but it's because that they had basically wiped out wolves. I mean...
But they are dangerous, though.
Yeah. And the guide told us later, he was like, he's convinced that if he would have been on the ground, they would have attacked him. Because they were hunting. The way they came in, they were hunting him. And they're not scared of anybody.
Especially if they're in a pack, probably.
Yeah. So it was a good hunt. The guide kept us entertained.
And interesting, kind of a local connection to the lodge you were at. Have a local, Tippmann from family out of Fort Wayne, Tippmann paintball guns.
Yeah, I think it was his uncle is the guy that started the Tippmann paintball guns. So
kind of a local connection there. All right, so that's it for hunting stories with Randall. Maybe next year we'll have another one. And I am looking forward to some of those bear steaks.
We'll make sure you get some.
All right. Hey, Matt, thank you. Do you have anything, Matt, that you'd wanted to share yet?
No, unless you guys have more questions there.
I don't think, not today we don't. Thanks again for coming on. And be sure, guys, to check out Irish Sports Daily. They've got a lot of articles up there and a lot of up-to-date, consistent information. So check them out, irishsportsdaily.com. And so until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.